Good morning. I'm Natalie with KQNK. Today is Thursday, May 30th. Currently, with fair skies, it is 61 degrees. The humidity is 83%. The wind speed is west at 5 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is 29.96, and the dew point is 55 degrees. It's 7:04 and time for Kansas News.
Be caller number 4 at 877-3378 for your chance to win a new grill from these sponsors: Moffitt Drug, United Northwest Federal Credit Union, Boxler Insurance, Norton Auto Supply, The Home Store of Norton, Thistle, Danby Home, Cowpoke Supply, First State Bank, and Pizza Hut Wing Street of Norton. Be caller number 4 for your chance to win.
Kansas Information Network News. I'm Jen Austin. The Pitt State men's outdoor track and field team claimed the program's third consecutive NCAA Division II outdoor national championship. Julio Flores has more.
The Pitt State men's outdoor track and field team scored 10 points in 10 different disciplines and captured four individual event national titles to hold off all would-be challengers and claim the program's third consecutive NCAA Division II outdoor national championship. PSU's men's outdoor track and field has now captured six national championships, winning indoor titles in 2018, 2023, and 2024, as well as three straight outdoor titles in 2022, 2023, and 2024. I'm Julio Flores.
McConnell Air Force Base said there were no injuries after a KC-135's front landing gear retracted while parked on Wednesday. A news release from the Air Force Base said the air crew had disembarked prior to the incident. Two maintainers were on board and three others were near the aircraft at the time of the incident, but no one was hurt. This is Kansas Information Network News.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle.
Or forget extra diapers. And never give in to a meltdown. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never let them have too much screen time. And never bribe them for just one more bite.
Choo-choo.
You say you'd never let them out in public without their hair brushed. Never, ever become a minivan mom. And you'd never give them your phone for a quiet dinner.
Calling boss work phone.
So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, no, it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Good morning, I'm Natalie Hadley with your KQNK News. Brought to you by Edward Jones Investments. Philip Eisenhagen is your financial advisor here in Norton. On Wednesday, Governor Kelly ceremoniously signed Senate Bill 430, which is bipartisan legislation making comprehensive reforms to the state's workers' compensation system. Governor Kelly was joined by the Kansas Department of Labor, the Kansas National Guard, and key negotiators, business groups, and labor organizations from across Kansas to celebrate the improvements. Governor Kelly said Senate Bill 430 is a win for Kansas's workforce, businesses, and organized labor. She added that the changes to the Kansas Workers' Compensation Act will keep employers' costs down while ensuring injured workers receive treatment in a timely manner. Some key components of the bill, which will go into effect on July 1, 2024, includes a reduction in the Social Security offset, a limit on the use of independent medical exams, a requirement for parties to exchange medical records prior to a preliminary hearing, introduction of medical reports without taking depositions, and the ability to settle by written agreement rather than through a hearing. This was a collaboration between business and labor, as both sides were committed to safeguarding a workplace culture that prioritizes the well-being of employees while maintaining business efficiency and growth. Kansas Department of Labor Secretary Amber Schultz said this legislation is a significant step in achieving a balance between the needs of workers and the realities of the business world, and they're proud to play a part in the creation of a more fair and equitable system. Beginning in late May and continuing for much of June, residents in Northwest Kansas may see a low-flying helicopter towing a large hexagonal frame, and this unusual arrangement is part of a project to map groundwater conditions in the Ogallala Aquifer in Northwest Kansas Groundwater Management District, or GMD, number 4. thanks to funding from the Governor's Office and the Kansas Water Office, GMD4 and the Kansas Geological Survey, working with Aqua Geo Frameworks LLC of Fort Laramie, Wyoming, have planned the helicopter flights to develop a better understanding of the Ogallala Aquifer. AGF has performed more than 20,000 miles of similar airborne electromagnetic surveys in Nebraska, Colorado, and Wyoming. However, this will be the first of its kind flown in Kansas. Scientific equipment will hang below the helicopter 100 to 200 feet above the ground, and the equipment is designed to map geological structures and groundwater resources to depths of approximately 1,000 feet below land surface. The Ogallala Aquifer is the major water resource for agricultural, industrial, and municipal use in GMD-4. And the Kansas Geological Survey wants to better assess the nature and continuity of water-yielding materials in the aquifer. The ultimate objective of the project is to obtain information that will assist GMD-4 in developing strategies for charting more sustainable paths for the Ogallala Aquifer in the district. On Wednesday, Governor Kelly made an announcement regarding her intention to exercise her constitutional authority, as stated in Article 1, Section 5 of the Kansas Constitution, to reconvene the Kansas Legislature for a special session on Tuesday, June 18, 2024. The governor expressed her commitment to collaborating with the legislature in order to implement responsible and sustainable tax cuts that will benefit all Kansans. And she believes that a special session presents an opportunity for bipartisan cooperation in achieving comprehensive tax relief without jeopardizing the state's strong fiscal foundation. Governor Kelly says she's optimistic that by working together, a compromise can be swiftly reached to provide Kansans with more financial resources. House Speaker Dan Hawkins of Wichita said they've been attempting to compromise with the governor's office all year, so he's hopeful that she's finally feeling the pressure to put an end to this and join the overwhelming majority of legislators who are ready to deliver tax relief to all Kansans. In the upcoming days, Governor Kelly will issue an official proclamation to convene the legislature for the special session, and the proclamation will serve as a formal notification to the members of the legislature of the specific date and purpose of the session. By taking this step, the governor aims to ensure that the special session proceeds smoothly and efficiently, allowing for productive discussions and decision-making on matters related to tax relief. In Nebraska news, a Nebraska inmate serving a sentence for kidnapping and sexual assault died over the weekend. According to the Nebraska Department of Correctional Services, Douglas Dowding, a 59-year-old inmate, passed away on May 26th at a hospital in Omaha. Dowding was being held at the Community Correction Center, Omaha, at the time of his death. Dowding was serving a sentence of 43 to 50 years for multiple charges, including kidnapping and attempted first-degree sexual assault out of Douglas County, as well as theft and possession of a controlled substance out of Sarpy County. The cause of Dowding's death has not been officially determined. However, it was noted that he had been receiving treatment for a medical condition. Following protocol, the death of an inmate in the custody of the Nebraska Department of Correctional Services triggers an investigation by a grand jury, and this is a standard procedure and is meant to ensure transparency and accountability in the handling of inmates and the circumstances surrounding their deaths. According to the Gage County Sheriff's Office, they responded to a home in Cortland, a village in the northern part of the county, at about 7:15 p.m., where a 57-year-old Cortland man shot a dog with a pellet gun after it ran through his yard and garage. The dog then ran to its owner's back patio, where a gathering was being held, and died. A deputy found an apparent pellet entry wound on the left side of the dog, which was an 8-year-old Heeler mix named Hulk. The sheriff's office said the man also shot at another dog owned by the same person, and investigators said he also gave false statements to a deputy. The man has been cited on suspicion of animal abuse and false reporting. Three people were arrested on Wednesday after a standoff at an apartment. At around 12:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the Lancaster County Sheriff's Office went to an apartment near 8th and G Streets near downtown Lincoln with a search warrant. Deputies said they saw 37-year-old Jermaine Graham of Omaha, who was wanted in Douglas County on suspicion of terroristic threats, inside the apartment, and investigators asked him and the others in the apartment to come out. However, they then barricaded themselves inside. Law enforcement eventually entered the unit and took Graham into custody, and they also arrested 33-year-old Bryant Bruce and 46-year-old Stephanie Pitak, both of Lincoln, on outstanding warrants. The standoff lasted about 2.5 hours, according to a reporter at the scene, and no injuries were reported. According to court documents, Bruce was wanted after failing to appear in court on a drug charge, and Patak didn't report for house arrest on Tuesday. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Do you move to the sidelines when stocks are predicted to drop? Are you waiting for some of today's uncertainties to be resolved before you invest? Hi, I'm Philip Eisenhagen, your Norton Edward Jones Financial Advisor. The problem with trying to time the market is you can miss some of the best days in the market. The truth is, attempting to time the market has historically reduced investor returns rather than raised them. A good financial advisor can set you up with a consistent and smart investing strategy. Contact me today at 785-877-3373. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
The National Sorghum Foundation has opened applications for 3 scholarships it has available to college students who are studying agriculture in the 2024-2025 academic year, and they are the Bruce Maunder Memorial Scholarship, the Daryl Rosenau Memorial Scholarship, and the Bill Kubeka Memorial Scholarship. To apply for the Bruce Maunder Memorial Scholarship, applicants must be sophomores through seniors and enrolled in agriculture-based degree programs. To apply for the Daryl Rosenau Memorial Scholarship, students must be sophomores through seniors and enrolled in agriculture-based science programs related to agronomy, plant pathology, entomology, and or plant breeding, with an emphasis on sorghum. And for the Bill Kubeka Memorial Scholarship, which is for undergraduate students, sophomores through seniors, graduate students, and law school students, applicants must be enrolled in a curriculum related to agricultural economics, agricultural policy, or agricultural law. Each scholarship is valued at $1,500, and the application windows for each will end this Saturday, June 1st. More information about each scholarship's criteria and application forms can be found online at sorghumgrowers.com/foundation-scholarships. The Norton County Community Foundation announced an art exhibition at the Gloria A. Nelson Cultural Arts Center in the Heaton Building. For the second year, the Norton Community High School's advanced art students were invited to present their work in the gallery, and this year, 11 students are presenting their collections, which feature a variety of techniques and media, including drawing, printmaking, photography, painting, sculpture, ceramics, jewelry, and more. The exhibiting artists are Rob Manning, Mackenzie Clydesdale, Jarrett Hagen, Eli Miller, Marisa Hempler, Jeffrey Fick, Natalie Simmons, Tessa Stegemeyer, Ella Judeman, Brenna Brown, and Corbin Puga. The exhibition opened with the reception and awards ceremony on May 2nd, and the exhibition, which features approximately 200 works of art, will be on view through June 10th. Several of the artworks are for sale, and there is an artist contact list in the gallery for those interested. The Gloria A. Nelson Cultural Arts Center is located on the main floor of the Heaton Building in downtown Norton at 112 South Kansas Avenue, Suite 203, and the gallery hours are Mondays through Fridays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Weekend viewings can also be scheduled on request, and there's never an admission fee. For more information, you can contact the Norton County Community Foundation office at 785-874-5106, email foundation@nortoncf.org, or visit the office at Suite 203 in the Heaton Building. The Gloria A. Nelson Cultural Arts Center is a dedication to Gloria's personal commitment of preserving the historic beauty of the Heaton Building and also giving artists and visitors a place to gather and breathe beauty. The Norton County Community Foundation was established in 1994 for the purpose of supporting local charitable events in Norton County through endowments made to the foundation. They are dedicated to serving today for tomorrow and to make the community a better place in which to live. You can connect with the Norton County Community Foundation at nortonccf.org. The community is reminded that the Norton City Code 15210C for water restrictions began on Monday, May 27th, and will run through Labor Day. The restrictions and rules that apply include that there is no watering between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on any day. People with home addresses ending in odd numbers will water on odd-numbered calendar days. And people with home addresses ending in even numbers will water on even-numbered calendar days. Hand watering with a closable hose connection can be done on all days for potted plants, though there is still no watering between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. There are no restrictions for certain businesses, including car washes and businesses that sell outdoor plants, shrubs, and trees. Should people or businesses desire a schedule for watering other than the odd-even schedule, such as a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they need to make an application to the city office, who will provide approval when the plan is reasonable and furthers the interests of water conservation practices. For those that have planted new grass or sod, a special permit is allowed but must be applied for at the city office, and an exemption may be made for daily watering, though there is still no watering between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Any violation of the restrictions or excessive water runoff on your designated day could result in a violation assessment of $25 a day. You can read the full executive order on the Norton City website at cityofnorton.com. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by Edward Jones Investments. Philip Eisenhagen is your financial advisor here in Norton. Your KQNK weather forecast for today: there is a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 5 p.m. Otherwise, it should be partly sunny with a high near 78 and a southeast wind around 10 miles per hour. For tonight, there's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 7 p.m. and 4 a.m., and it should be mostly cloudy with a low around 58 and a northeast wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour. On Friday, there's a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 7 a.m., should be mostly cloudy with a high near 76. On Saturday, there's a chance of showers between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m., and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 p.m. It should be mostly sunny on Saturday with a high near 83. On Sunday, there's a slight chance of thunderstorms before 7 a.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m. Should be mostly sunny with a high near 89. On Monday, should be sunny with a high near 85. Tuesday, there's a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 91. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 85. Currently, with fair skies, it is 61 degrees. It is 7:21.